Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, where family comes first.
Just where do you suppose my strong will came from?
Not from me. Ryan was not a strong-willed child. He was sneaky.
Oh.
You had to keep your eye on him at all times.
Me?
Dad, how do you help your kids make their faith their own?
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught?
Mom, how do you make your house a home?
It's a sad commentary on today's families that there are so many children that are deprived of love.
It's practical advice to help strengthen your family right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Thanks for joining us today on Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with our host, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson. And today, we're going to hear from a group of women who very graciously agreed to share their personal stories and shed some light on a topic that isn't talked about very openly. Doctor, this is a very candid program.
Yeah, and it is specifically targeted at someone or a particular family member who has been through what we're going to talk about today. We're speaking of those surprise pregnancies that are often a topic of humor and maybe even ridicule. You know, people may thoughtlessly say, haven't you ever heard of birth control? Ha, ha, ha. Well, it's really not funny to many of the women who find themselves blessed by the knowledge that they're going to have yet another child. And not all of them are overjoyed about it.
Well, Dad, many of the women struggle with this a great deal. They've had other children. They've already been through sleepless nights and colic and diapers and toddlerhood, maybe even elementary school. And they thought those years were over. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves pregnant again.
Now, Ryan, what you just said is going to be very frustrating to some women, those that can't get pregnant, those that are infertile. And they're going to say, how dare you act like that when I can't even have a baby and you're complaining about having yet another baby. But there's some valid emotion there on both sides that we need to talk about. Luann, you've had four children. Did you ever feel that way?
I did, Doctor. And I remember, especially when I was pregnant with my fourth, running into some of my friends who were infertile or who had had multiple miscarriages. And I felt for them. They wanted to share my joy, and yet I understood how they were feeling. So you can see that there's a lot of angst on either side of this topic.
You know, Laura and I have had friends not tell us they were pregnant for that very reason, because we've struggled in those areas. And I understand both sides. We want to be happy for them, and we are, and we're sad too.
Well, again, this is our topic for today, and I think that many women in our audience are going to identify with it. We want to allow women who find themselves with an unexpected pregnancy to have the freedom to express their feelings and work through them with the help of family and friends.
Well, Doctor, I know that our hope is that they would come to see this pregnancy, as unplanned as it is, not as a huge mistake, as though God is somehow not paying attention, but really, truly as a blessing that comes directly from Him.
Well, to help us do that, as you said, Luann, we invited three women to join us in the studio a while back. And each one of them has been through something like we've described. They've experienced unplanned pregnancies and walked that difficult journey more than once. First, we have Mrs. Leslie Leyland Fields, who is the author of several books, including one entitled Surprise Child, Finding Hope in Unexpected Pregnancy.
That says it all.
She is a columnist and a regular contributor to Christianity Today. Leslie and her husband, Duncan, live in Alaska and have six children whose ages range from 23 down to 8 years old. Now, we also have Mrs. Michael Schwartz. Michael is her first name. And she and her husband, Paul, live in Wisconsin, where they own a restaurant. And she is a stay-at-home mom of five children. Mm-hmm. I think we're beginning to get the picture here. And finally, we have Joanna Brown. She and her husband, Doug, live here in Colorado Springs, and they have three girls.
Well, why don't we get started, Dad, as you welcome Mrs. Leslie Leyland Fields here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Leslie, it's good to have you here.
Thank you so
much. You're married to Duncan.
Yes.
And so you have six children.
Yep.
And you live in Kodiak, Alaska.
Yep, that's right.
Boy, we can get into some serious discussions about that. You must be a nature lover to live there.
Well, I am. I am. I really love creation. I love what God has made for us to enjoy, the mountains, the ocean. Ah. We kind of get it all in terms of natural beauty. You know, we're on the ocean and we have mountains and just gorgeous flora. But we pay for all that with really bad weather.
I think you said you only have about 30
clear
days per year.
That's right.
And we talked a little bit before we went on the air about cabin fever.
Yes.
Everybody gets it?
Oh, yeah. You know, you really notice it that when the sun comes out, sometimes we won't see the sun for 2 or 3 weeks. And the sun comes out, some businesses in town will close shop and they'll put a sign out that says, closed for sun. Uh-huh. And the Coast Guard base will shut down and let everybody out for the afternoon. And you walk, you just drive around town and everybody's got smiles on their faces. Everybody is so happy. And we didn't realize how gloomy and grumpy we'd all been through the 3 weeks of rain until the sun comes out. And it's like this enormous weight just falls off your shoulders.
How do you deal with six children who are snowed in day after day after day?
Yeah.
You got to have a certain emotional stability to do that.
It's very hard. And I know Michael can speak to this too, because her kids are younger than mine and her kids are closer in age than mine.
Yeah.
And it's very tough. You know, if I lived in California or Colorado Springs, for example, you know, where you can send your kids outside and it's sunny most of the time and it's, you know, and it's nice weather a good deal of the time, that would help enormously. But it really is an inside climate. Your kids are inside most of the time.
Mm. Can you imagine homeschooling under those circumstances?
Yes, and there are, and we know
some who do.
We have friends who do, and more power to them, and I have no idea how they do it.
Well, you mentioned Michael. She's our next guest, Michael Schwartz. And she and her husband have five children. She works a few hours a week outside the home, but for the most part, she's a stay-at-home mom, so you're there all the time with lots of kids. Well, the two of you are quintessential mothers. I mean, you've got between you 11 children and spend most of your time with them, and I bet you love it. That was what we call a pregnant pause. We're talking about pregnancy. Well, Joanna Brown is right here among us. And Joanna, we are glad to have you join us for the first time.
Thank you.
I'm really glad to have all three of you here. Now, what you each have in common with the others is a surprise child, or two of them. Leslie, you had two surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael?
I've had two as well.
Two. And Joanna?
Three.
Three
surprises.
Three
that I have, yes.
Uh-huh. Surprises. Well, you ladies are certainly qualified to talk about this subject. And Leslie, since you have written about it, I'm going to start with you. You come right out of your own experience.
Mm-hmm.
and share a lot of that in the book. I have kind of explained my take on what that's like. I haven't been there. You have. Put it into your own words. What is it like to have a surprise child, in your case, in the 40s?
You know, I think all women who have unplanned pregnancies, what makes it so hard is it comes in the middle of usually a very busy life, a very stressful life. And for me, I was 42, and I was teaching full-time at the University of Alaska. I had four children, ages, let's see, at that time, I think they were from 12 down to 5. And I felt very called to be there at the university teaching, very called by the Lord to be there. I felt, of course, very called to be there for my family. And I'm you know, it's the whole mommy wars thing going on, right? And I'm experiencing sure. that whole conflict. You know, Lord, do you want me here at the university? I believe you do. But am I there for my family? I'm sort of going through all of that conflict. And I'm also praying. I'm praying constantly, Lord, if you don't want me here, you know, take me out, send me home. Do, you know, if this is not your will, then do something.
But you weren't ready for what he did about
No. Was that a foolish prayer, or was that a good prayer? Well, and so then I became pregnant, and my youngest at that point was 5, and he was just on the verge of going into school, so all my children would have been in school. I would have been at the end of managing this very complicated world of part-time childcare. It was, I thought, okay, this is a nightmare that is just about to end. And I'm in the bathroom now, and I'm looking at that little white wand that you can buy for $11.99 at your nearest drugstore, the home pregnancy test, which is a wonderful thing. And I'm looking at that stick and waiting that 1 minute or that 3 minutes, whatever it is, if a line is going to appear. And a line appeared, and I was pregnant. Mm. And my first thought was disbelief. It was anger. It was despair. It was not my greatest fear. It was my second greatest fear. My greatest fear was that I would lose my husband or lose one of my children. Mm. My second greatest fear, truly and honestly, was that I would have another child.
How old was your eldest by that point?
She was 12.
Okay, so you had poured every resource
yes.
into those children
yes.
for 12 years.
For 12 years.
And you thought it was almost done.
And I thought it was done. And all the, you know, up all night and night feedings and diapers and potty training. And, you know, by the time you've gone through that 4 times, you just feel like that. I can't do this again. I don't have any more left to give. How is there room for another child in our family? How is there room in my heart? How is there love?
So you came staggering back from the mirror.
Yes.
And what? Did you tell your husband?
Yes. I told my husband. And he and I just kind of sat. I think we just sat in shock for a while. We couldn't believe it because we were using birth control and how can this happen? And we knew fertility rates were very low when you're in your 40s. The chances of becoming pregnant are not good. But there we were. And then, you know, in those first moments, and the next few days, even the next few weeks, I felt such a crushing weight. Everything that I was I had all kinds of fears, everything I was afraid of. And, you know, my fears were not based on something I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I had been through this 4 times. I knew exactly what to fear. I knew exactly what was before me. And I really feared my ability to love another child or to have the resources to pour out into one more child.
Well, I want to hear more about your story. Michael, let's hear yours.
Well, my first surprise child came when my baby was 5 months old. It wasn't that my husband and I didn't want any more kids, but it just wasn't when we had planned. I was tired from nursing, and here I was pregnant again. And then we decided we would like either 2 children or 4. So Rebecca came, and she was number 3, so we pursued baby number 4 quite quickly so I could be done being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 4 children. We had 2 boys, 2 girls. We had the perfect family. We were done. I celebrated every milestone with baby number 4. I celebrated all those and was so excited when he turned 1. And 3 weeks later, I took a pregnancy test just to reaffirm to myself that I was not pregnant. And it came up positive. And
the same experience. I wonder how many people in our listening audience have had that precise experience.
Yeah. Well, I took that test and it came up positive, and I had a panic attack. I called my friend and I said, Suzanne, I'm pregnant. And she said, wow. And I said, not wow.
That's not the emotion that comes to mind.
No. And she thought she was giving me an innocuous answer of wow. But she thought I was joking. And I said, I need to call Paul. And I called him at work and told him, and he came right home. And he was thrilled. He would like 8 children.
But, as long as you have them.
As long as I have them. So I struggled for the entire 9 months. I was angry and bitter.
At whom?
At God, that he did this to me, because I had made it through the first year of the last baby. I was had my energy back and had my body back and felt I was able to take care of the 4 children I had who were under 5. But here I was again, exhausted and tired and sick.
So from the time that you learned you were pregnant, you did not really adjust even through the pregnancy.
No, I did not. I tried for the sake of my children and for the sake of my husband to be excited. But even at the moment of Ethan's birth, when he was due to be delivered, I looked at my husband and said, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And when he was born, something pretty amazing happened. He was born so quickly. He was black and blue when I thought he was dead. He was not breathing. And at that moment, I thought, you've given me exactly what I've wanted. I didn't want this child, and now he's dead. And I felt the crushing guilt of all my anger for the last 9 months. And it was then that I realized that I did want this baby and that I did love him. And he pinked up and was crying. And I felt better, but it was still a long road. Even still now, I have moments of, if only Ethan weren't here, I could be doing this. And I think that's going to last a while. It's getting easier.
How old is he now?
He just turned 1 last month.
And he's here.
And he's here today. He's with my mom.
Oh, my goodness. He's in the gallery out there.
So, and I celebrated his 1-year birthday very excitedly. But it still has its challenges for me.
We can sense that and feel it, and I want to hear more about it. Joanna, tell us about your experience.
Mine's a little different from theirs. I was 18, just graduated high school. My husband and I had dated since high school. We were high school sweethearts and found myself pregnant right out of high school.
Not married.
Not married, no. I terrified. We didn't know what else to do. I didn't know, you know. I came from a very conservative family, brought up in a Christian home. I was the type of girl, you know, that this doesn't happen to. And when I found myself in this situation, I panicked. We both did. And we wound up having an abortion. Year later, pregnant again. Doug and I had a long-distance relationship, and I couldn't go through with abortion again, so I decided to keep her, and we had Madison, but we still, at this time, were not married. But I kept Madison, and we ended up getting married, and we had Mallory, which we did not plan, and we had then Michaela, which was another not planned pregnancy. So none of my pregnancies have been planned. They have all been surprises.
I want to talk at length and probably next time about the abortion option, because I think I read that all 3 of you thought about it, and all 3 of you are Christian women who, you know, still felt that pressure that was there. We'll get into it more next time. We only have about 3 minutes to go. But Leslie, you thought about it too, didn't you?
I did. I did. I didn't think about it very long, but I suddenly, I understood in an instant as I'm looking at the pregnancy stick, I understood that desire. I understood, I mean, a part of me wanted that resolution. A part of me did not want to go back to work to the university and face my colleagues who would be very judgmental toward me being pregnant. And I didn't want to face all that I knew lay ahead. And that was a quick answer that was tempting to think about for a moment. But I didn't dwell on it.
Isn't it interesting that we now live in a culture that would judge a woman for becoming a mother again? Because that's always been an honorable profession. And yet in the professional circles where you worked, it was not.
You don't have six kids. You know, you can't be a professor and have four kids or five or six.
Yeah. Michael, you thought about abortion too, didn't you?
I did.
What are your thoughts now as you look back on that?
I'm amazed that I even thought that way. But at the time, I was so desperate to get out of this pregnancy that I did think about it. But thankful that there wasn't an option where I lived.
So there was no clinic?
There's no option in my town.
You know, the pro-abortion movement would say, here's a good example of why women need to have that option, won't they? And they will say, you really had every right to end this pregnancy. It was, quote, your body. How do you feel about that now?
You know, what I have experienced and through all the women that I've talked to, those first moments and the first weeks and months when you're feeling this very heavy weight of fears and anxieties and shock, that's when most women get the abortion, when they're in that stage and they haven't worked out of that stage. And that's, you know, God has us pregnant for almost 10 months, I think, for a reason, because we've got a long road to walk. Even when that baby is planned, you've got a long way to travel. Yeah. And that decision to have an abortion is done in the moments when you're so overwhelmed, you can't see beyond the moment.
And yet, Michael, you didn't get through that depression until you held the baby.
Right. The sad thing is that it's so easy to do. It's so easy to walk in that clinic and husbands don't even have to know. You can go in there and get it done. And, you know, it's just I wish there was counseling. I wish they had counselors to tell you what you're going to face afterwards, because they don't. They don't let you know.
This is a very inappropriate moment to end the program, because this is a very intimate topic and one that we really do need to explore. And we're going to have to pick it up here next time. But this entire interview and this broadcast is an invasion of your privacy. I'm speaking to the three of you. And I appreciate your willingness to open this chapter, because you're not the only ones who have been there, and there are many others now, Michael, who are still experiencing, even late in the pregnancy, what you went through. So I'm going to express appreciation to you today, and we will start the program right here with this same topic, and we'll talk next time.
Okay, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, as Dr. Dobson mentioned, this was a tough place to end the conversation today here on Family Talk. However, we trust that what we've covered today has really been somewhat of a breath of fresh air for those of you listening who have gone through that unplanned pregnancy. Maybe you too have felt pretty vulnerable and even disappointed. And Ryan, they probably even feel it's unsafe to share some of the feelings that they heard today.
Sure. And if that's you, we want you to call and request a copy of Leslie Leland Field's book, Surprise Child, Finding Hope in Unexpected Pregnancy, which served as the basis for our conversation today. Our phone number for that is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. 732-6825. And when you call, you can request a copy of today's broadcast on CD with our compliments. It will also include tomorrow's broadcast as well. Mm-hmm. Or, as always, you can visit us at myfamilytalk.com, where along with this book and this broadcast, we have many other resources available to you.
And Ryan, as you said, we make those available at no charge to people. Here at Family Talk, our number one goal is to help hurting families, mm-hmm. and we want to do what we can to make that as widely available as possible. For anyone listening who can stand with us to help cover the cost of sending that, we would love to hear from you. Many of you have already partnered with us, and we just want to say thank you. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who have not and who are able to help us send out materials like this to hurting women today, go to myfamilytalk.com, click on the Donate tab, and we would love to hear from you.
And we still have the matching fund available, which will double any assistance you can give to us, and we appreciate it. Join us again tomorrow as we finish the rest of this conversation on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.